Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. We ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ."
Morning.
Well, hi, Andy. Do you want the usual Monday morning complaints?
No, thanks.
Oh, this time we even have complaints in favor of little Ed.
That figures. Did you hear his broadcast?
At 8 o'clock, Sunday morning? No.
He slammed us. I mean, he made a mockery of the station.
I thought that you were going to get rid of Mr. Little Ed.
Well, we were, but the big guy scared to death of him. And to tell you the truth, I guess I am too, but now I'm mad.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get him off the air. That's what I'm going to do. At least off of WKRP, anyway.
How?
Find his weakness.
What weakness?
I've never met a man who didn't have one.
Yeah, well, if you think of some, you just let me know, all right?
The IRS.
What?
The Internal Revenue Service.
What do you got in mind?
Oh, I don't know, Andy. It's probably a lousy idea.
Oh, come on, Bailey. Now's not the time to get shy on us.
Well, I can't help it.
Come on, Bailey. Speak up for once.
Well, if it were me, I'd invite Mr. Little Ed in, you know, to see you and Mr. Carlson. And then I'd just, you know, mention all those things that he sells, like those St. Peter and Paul spice racks. Then I'd really let him have it. I'd tell him that he was a sham and a crook and that he does a disservice to every honest evangelist in this country. And just when he's getting really mad, I hit him with an IRS audit. Right between those beady little eyes. That'd cool him off real good. Of course, I'm probably wrong.
What do you think, Andy?
Well, that's a pretty mean trick.
It's too mean.
Good idea, though.
It's perfect.
Get the good reverend on the phone there, will you?
You two ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
You scared?
A little.
Yeah. Want to ride my exercycle?
No, thanks.
It's supposed to relieve tension. Of course, all it's ever done for me is make me a little lightheaded and sort of nauseous.
Well, the good reverend was supposed to be here 5 minutes ago.
Well, it's obvious he's not coming. Let's get out of here.
Hey, man. You ought to be used to these outfits by now.
We were expecting little Ed.
Oh, well. Him and asked about a raise, but it can wait. I'll talk to the people that take over when you guys are gone.
Hey, want to be a station manager? Good money in that.
No way.
You think he's really going to stick our heads in a soda pop machine?
We don't have one.
Oh, well, maybe our luck's beginning to change. No, it's not.
Come in.
Well, good morning, little brothers. Are we ready to let bygones be bygones? Yes!
No.
No.
As a matter of fact, yesterday was your last show.
Oh, well, little Ed's got to keep his temper.
Y'all keep it down.
Little Ed's got to stay calm.
Oh, yeah, be calm.
Little Ed's got to stay cool.
Now, hallelujah, be cool, brave.
You boys got a soda pop machine around here?
No, there's not one in the whole building.
Little Ed! What you did on your show yesterday was wrong. I'm going to have to insist that you let us out of your contract.
Do I look like I'm crazy to you?
Well, I'd rather not go into that right now.
I'm not letting you out of anything.
Well, then, as a responsible station whose job it is to make sure its programming is above board, I have no choice but to call for an IRS audit of your nonprofit organization.
IRS? You mind if I sit down for a minute? You boys play hard ball, don't you? That is definitely not slow pitch.
Well, we don't like it any better than you, but your show is absolutely irresponsible and very offensive to a very large segment of this population.
Yeah, maybe. I bet I do get a little out of hand now and then, but I have my followers, too. People who would still be searching if it weren't for me. Many wrestling fans have told me that. There are people that I sincerely believe I really do help.
Well, we're sorry, Reverend.
Would you really do that? Go to the IRS?
Yes.
Really? Oh, my goodness. You had me pinned, and now you're going to let me up.
Oh, heck, Reverend. That's just the kind of guys we are.
Are you willing to make a deal with us?
Shoot, yeah. What other choice have I got?
None. All right, here it is. We move your show from 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock a.m. Instead of 60 minutes, you got 30 minutes.
Ask
for donations, but no more steak knives, no more shower curtains, no more merchandise of any sort.
But I got a whole warehouse full of that stuff. I got 200 units of the world is coming to an end lawn furniture alone.
Yeah, and we have got the IRS.
Okay, it's a deal. You ain't such a bad bunch of guys after all. But you go to church now every Sunday, you hear me?
All right, do live it. Swear.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Little Ed's gonna mend his ways, and he's gonna pray for all of you. But most especially, he's gonna pray for this little fella here, in the hopes that the Lord will mend this broken body and restore to this man some, if not all, of his faculties.
That's a big order, little Ed.
Never underestimate the power, even when things look hopeless.
I can see.
This Sunday, my friends, little Ed has a new policy. No more shower curtains, no more knives, no more merchandise of any kind. But here's an interesting idea. Way back in the Middle Ages, they had these things called indulgences. A program whereby you could buy a loved one or a relative out of hell and into heaven. It was kind of like life insurance, except it was heaven insurance. Now, here's how it worked. You send me.
I'd mentioned Little in chapter 2 as one of those preachers you had to be a little bit careful about. And, he'd purchased air on the WKRP radio station for his radio ministry. During the hour, inspirational music. You saw sisters there singing, preaching, aimed at wrestling fans, and words of encouragement. And for a donation of only $75, you too could relax in your backyard on a set of The World is Coming to an End yard lawn furniture. Earlier in the episode, it showed that he got his ire up at the whole religious community. A priest, a rabbi, and a Baptist preacher all came to complain about the Little Ed show. Reverend Drinkwater, the Baptist preacher, said that Little Ed went against good taste, good morals, and good religion. I'm actually torn a little bit about Little Ed, believe it or not. On the one hand, I don't like his business practice. I don't like the fact that he uses the cloth of faith, the cloth of religion, to sell knickknacks, Peter and Paul spice racks, etc. And, of course, there's that indulgences thing. Oh, my. And on those grounds, I have to agree with Reverend Drinkwater. Little Ed illustrates the exact opposite of what Paul said in verse 2. Paul says, we reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. On the other hand, little Ed speaks about his flock, about the wrestling fans, who would still be searching if it wasn't for him. In one side, he's trying to sell stuff. On the other side, he really feels he has a ministry. I wonder if his head and his heart just aren't in the same place. But little Ed has hidden the good news behind a veil. Ed's flock, as he calls it, are probably more dedicated to Ed than they are to Christ. When little Ed speaks, he speaks of himself putting the devil in a Bavarian headlock and smashing him into that great soda machine in the sky. Not of Jesus doing something similar. That actually might be kind of interesting. Ed says his flock, his followers, not Jesus' flock that he's shepherd of. Not Jesus' followers. How many other preachers, how many other churches do the same? Not Christ's church, but theirs. Paul wrote, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. And for God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. In this passage, Paul writes about those who've been blinded by Satan. They are unable or unwilling to see the light of this world. They are unable to see Jesus. This could be because they're following a false teacher, like little Ed. Or it could be that they love the things and the pleasures of this world so much that they don't want to let go and turn to the creator of the world. Either way, they've been blinded to the good news. Still, others do manage to see through the veil. They manage to see through the world, through the false preachers. They manage to see the light. Paul writes in verse 7, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we're never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under the constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. We continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I speak. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus Christ, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit, And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. And God will receive more and more glory. Have you noticed the way money is transported from place to place? Large amounts of money. Bank amounts of money. It's transported in large armored trucks. Wells Fargo trucks, Brink Security, name it. At many banks today, you go in, the tellers and the money are behind inch-thick plexiglass. Our nation's gold supply is held at Fort Knox, a gold repository that's never been robbed, never been broken into, unless you count Eric Goldfinger from the Bond movies. Our riches, our great treasure, is definitely not kept in fragile jars, at least at an official level. Yet in every pirate movie, where's the treasure? In some rickety old wooden box. Why bother with a key? You got an axe? People still keep their savings, their personal treasure, in coffee cans or under their mattress. Definitely not safe places. But there's great treasure, whether it's the gold at Fort Knox or the life savings in Granny's mattress, whether it's in an armored car or in a pirate's chest or even a clay pot. What's inside is wonderful, but that holding it is flawed, perhaps even human. And that's what Paul's saying in verse 7. How often, after enjoying your coffee, do you look at the cup and go, wow, that's a great coffee cup? Or, boy, did Coca-Cola manufacture a nifty bottle? No. You throw the cup away, you give the Coke bottle to Heartwork, and you forget about it. When we work in Jesus' name, we're the container. We're the Starbucks cup. We're the Coke bottle. People should see Jesus and not us. When they're fed, when we are shining God's light into the world, they shouldn't be thinking about the container. They should be thinking about the light. Paul writes that we may have pressures from all sides, yet it is because of what's inside us, the light of Jesus, the light of God, that we endure. You know, just like little Ed said, maybe the devil has us in that Bavarian headlock. But don't despair. We've got a tag team partner that never loses. Paul writes, verse 13, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present himself together with you. Jesus is our partner. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. And God will receive more and more glory. No matter what the world presses on us, no matter how down we feel, that which is inside us is greater than the world outside us. and we should shout it from the rooftops. I believe God. So I spoke. We have a promise of something that is still greater because Jesus is filling us and giving us strength. Paul continues, that's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Our present troubles, they're small. They won't last very long. When you're standing in line waiting to get into the Super Bowl, you think it takes forever. Maybe it's 15 minutes. Maybe it's a half an hour. You get into the game. You get your seat. You get your hot dog. You get your beverage. You get your whatever souvenir it is you're going to get. And after you plunk down your $500 for all that, and you're enjoying the game, it seems like it goes, it's all a matter of perspective. 15 minutes, 30 minutes in line seems like hours because all you're doing is standing there and you want to get to the prize. And then when you get to the prize, it's over in an instant. To my kids, to your kids, next year seems like an eternity away. This fall, Yesenia starts kindergarten. As far as she's concerned, it might as well be next century. That's one-fifth of her life. Think of that. For me, this fall, can't come fast enough for kindergarten. But it's also a lot less of my life. It's 1/42nd of my life. My perspective on time is different than hers. I'm thinking, where did the year go? She's thinking, boy, that was a long time. Different perspectives. Whether it's happening right now, or days, or months, or years, or a lifetime ago, all change your perspective on what is happening. Whether it's seen through God's eternal eyes or our own finite eyes changes the perspective. But praise God, the world operates from God's perspective. Praise God, He's opened our eyes so we can see His glory, so we can take faith that whatever we're going through, it will pass, but God will still be with us. Praise God that although we are fragile vessels, we contain His shining glory so that others may see Him. Jesus is shining through us, shining so that others too may see Him, to know Him, to be saved. That's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them. And that glory will last forever. So don't look at the troubles that we can see right now. Rather, fix your gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Praise God. Shine, Jesus. Shine.